What's going on in the Atlanta real estate market? What's going on with home values? Where are the best schools? Cleve has all the answers for you. Call Cleve Atlanta Real Estate Show. Now, here's Cleve Gaddis.
Welcome back to another week's edition of the Call Cleve Atlanta Real Estate Show, heard right here on News Talk 1160, Atlanta's talk of the town. My name is Cleve Gaddis. In addition to being the host of this radio show, I'm also a full-time real estate agent and broker with a team full of agents helping buyers, sellers, investors, and landlords all throughout the metro Atlanta area make the best decisions possible when buying, selling, or investing in real estate. We can be reached by calling 770-497-0000, or you can visit us online at gogaddis.com. That's GOGADDIS.com. I'm joined in the studio, as always, by my man Alfie.
Hey, what's going on, Cleve?
Alfred Romero. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing good, doing good.
Hey, I noticed that the holiday season has kicked off in the Romero family.
Yes, it has.
I saw some Christmas Santa photos
Facebook. Yes, we visited Santa over the weekend.
Seemed like one of the little boys was excited, and the little one wasn't quite so sure about what was going on.
Yeah, he was kind of confused. He didn't know what was going on. It's always tough to get him to take pictures. No, he wasn't scared. He didn't cry. It's just difficult for him to pay attention to the camera and take pictures. So
yeah.
So we always had that problem.
In our family, we always had the youngest one. Well, my sister's the oldest. I'm the middle. And then I've got a younger brother. And there's a picture of me crying crazy in Santa's lap and my brother crying like crazy in Santa's lap. I always thought that was funny. And that's a kind of a pain. Did you drag them to the mall to take the pictures there?
Yeah, we went to the mall. Jeez. We went to the mall.
That's kind of a pain in the butt, isn't it?
Luckily, it wasn't that bad. The line wasn't that long, so that was very beneficial. And then we bought a little package deal, got some wallet sizes and some good pictures to put up and all of that. So it went really well. The kids were really good. I mean, like I said, the thing was just getting them to look at the camera. Sage, who's the 4-year-old, he loves taking pictures.
No problem.
So he's no problem
on
there.
But he's on it. Look here, baby. Okay.
But Shiloh, the little 2-year-old, he kind of, he wanders around and you got to get that attention. Snap the fingers, you could say his name, and then and then you got to get it.
Right,
you got to take 10 pictures in a row, and then eventually you'll get one that looks really somewhat decent.
I love it. Well, next year now we want you to come up because, Santa visited our office this past weekend.
How'd that go?
And I think it was great, Alfie. We had a lot of people come in and take advantage of it, and the kids got to spend a lot of time visiting with Santa Claus.
Right.
He was right here in the office, and we're thinking about having him back next year as well. We think it was a hit. So we'll put you on the list for next year for sure.
Looking forward to
it. We love it. Well, listen, the purpose of this show is to educate by providing as much information as possible about what's happening in the real estate market locally, throughout the state, and throughout the United States, to empower our listeners, to give you the power that comes from knowledge. Whatever decisions you need to make regarding real estate, we want you to be the best educated person in a particular transaction. And then we hope for nothing more than to be able to engage with you, that you'll like what you hear so much, you'll choose to hire Gaddis Partners REMAX Center to represent you in a residential real estate transaction. My family's been in the real estate business in Metro Atlanta for 30 years, and we live, eat, breathe, and sleep real estate, and we love nothing more than to help you. Our phone number, again, 770-497-0000. In our Clevenomics segment, Alfie, we've got some trends, big shifts in the housing market expected in 2018.
Okay.
You interested in hearing about these shifts, Alfie?
Yes, I'm very much so, because, I'm looking for a home. And we're looking in early of next year to start looking
now
for something.
Now, I hear that we've got to let you get to Disney World and back before we get into a new home. How exciting. You have not been in maybe a year.
It's been a while since we've been, so we'll be going at the beginning of the year. At the start of the year, we're going to go for a week and take the kids and have a good time. So we're looking forward to that, to kick off 2018 with the kids in style and in Kimmer's favorite part of the country.
Yeah, now Kimber actually helps people with Disney tours, right?
Yeah, she has a travel agent. She's like a certified Disney travel agent, amongst other things. She does cruises in other parts of the country and trips like that. But she's certified Disney travel agent.
Does she have a website or anything?
She has a Facebook page.
Yeah. Can somebody find it?
Yeah. No? I'll look it up during the break.
Look it up during the break. Who knows? Maybe we get Kimber some extra business. That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
And she knows everything about Disney. She knows exactly what restaurants to go to, what kids like to do, the different type of character breakfasts they do, the special events that's going on, and how to get your fast passes and all that. So she knows that place backwards and forwards. It's It's amazing how much knowledge she has.
Well, you and she have been kicking around that place as long as I've known you, for sure. Like a couple kids yourself, even before you got married. Kind of embarrassing, guys. You would go two or three times a year, and you didn't even have any kids.
Actually, we had a season pass, and we went once a month.
Listen, I'm trying to make it sound reasonable, Alfie, given the circumstances. I just remembered every time I turn around, you were headed to Disney.
Well, I'll tell you, we got our money's worth out of it, so that's the good thing about it.
Now, Alfie, I'm recovering from a cold.
Yeah.
So if I cough on today's show, you're going to have to cover for me, okay?
We got you covered, buddy. We got you covered.
So let's talk about some of the expectations for the housing market in 2018.
All right.
They're expecting home prices to appreciate 3.2%.
Okay.
So that sounds pretty good.
Yeah, that's
reasonable. Now, that's compared to 6% appreciation this year. So they think it's going to slow somewhat. They think mortgage interest rates will average 4.6% throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
They think they'll finish the year at 5%. And to give you an example, today, Alfie, we're right at 4%. That is a 1% increase from now to the end of next year. That's a 25% increase in the amount of interest people will have to pay on a home loan. That's something we all need to pay very close attention to. They think existing home sales will grow to the tune of 2.5%. They think the low inventory trend will start to reverse because, you know, for the last couple of years, you and I have been talking about low inventory in Atlanta and throughout the country.
Yes, sir.
They think housing starts will grow at 3%, so there'll be a 3% increase in the number of housings and the number of houses being built. And they think new home sales will increase 7%.
Wow.
New home sales, they think, will go up 7% in the United States next year. And this is interesting. They think the home ownership rate will settle in at 63.9%. I don't know if you remember this, but before we went into the recession, the home ownership rate was closer to 67%, like 66.5%. So it's taken a fairly big drop in terms of the number of people or the percentage of the population in the United States that actually owns homes, but it's starting to rise again.
That's good.
And I think it had gotten as low as maybe 62%. Don't quote me on these numbers, but it had gotten really, really low, so it's starting to improve. So in addition to inventory increasing and prices continue to appreciate only a little more slowly, they do think that millennials will gain market share in the home purchase segments. They think that millennials will represent 43% of home buyers taking out a mortgage by the end of 2018.
Wow.
So they're really coming strong. Tax reform is still a wild card. In fact, we'll talk a little bit about tax reform as we move forward in the show. Now, they do say that the major metro areas in the southern United States will lead the way in terms of price appreciation and market activity. Now, Atlanta was not on this specific list. I'm actually using a report from Real Trends, which is a real estate publication, and it had lots of other cities in the southern United States. It had Las Vegas or in the Sun Belt, and Dallas, and Daytona Beach, and Lakeland, Winter Haven, Florida, Salt Lake City, Utah, which is not Sun Belt at all, Charlotte, had Nashville as well. Didn't have Atlanta on there, but Atlanta always does really well when it comes to the real estate market.
Yep.
You got a question? You look like you did.
No, I'm good. It's good to hear all this positive news about the housing markets and millennials finally kind of getting out there and getting homes. And
for a few years, we were scared they weren't going to buy anything.
Yeah,
wow.
I think a lot of them see the light, as far as including myself. When you're renting and you're just giving money to some landlord and no investment, you get nothing out of it. At least if you purchase a home, sometimes rent, you know, the mortgages could be just about as much as rent, but at least you're putting something into it.
In Atlanta, typically you can buy a home for 70% of the cost to rent it. So typically you can buy it for less, and you're paying down your principal every single month, which I know is something that's important to you and Kimber. Alfie and I believe the average home seller in Atlanta sells their home for $16,000 less than they could, and $16,000 is some real money. So please listen up, Atlanta. If you're planning to sell your home in the next 90 days, you don't need a Zestimate from Zillow or a CMA like most real estate agents would provide, or even an appraisal. You need a customized maximum value plan, which is a kick-butt, no-holds-barred plan for getting top dollar for your home. It's like an appraisal on steroids. We use some of the same software that the big Wall Street banks use and the mortgage companies use to predict what's going to happen to property values in the next 12 months. And Alfie, what we do is we help people figure out how to get the most they can of the future appreciation of the property, not just the appreciation in the past. Normally, a customized maximum value plan is a $799 charge, but you can get one for free at absolutely no charge. How? Just be one of the first five people to call 770-497-0000, and we'll prepare for you a customized maximum value plan at no charge. Just be one of the first five people to call 770-497-0000. Alfie and I need to take a quick break. When we come back, we've got Mike Crew with Homeowner Management Services answering some important Homeowner Association questions. Stick with us. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Call Cleve Atlanta Real Estate Show right here on News Talk 1160. We appreciate you sticking with us through the break. My name is Cleve Gaddis. In addition to being the host of this radio show, I'm a full-time real estate agent and broker with a team full of agents helping buyers, sellers, investors, and landlords all throughout Metro Atlanta make the best decisions when buying, selling, or investing in real estate. I'm joined in the studio by my man, Alfie.
Hey, Cleve.
Thanks for sticking with us through the break, Alfie.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here. Glad to be here, buddy.
This segment of the show is brought to you by John Birchfield and Brand Mortgage. John makes it his mission to guide each home buyer step-by-step through the entire loan process so they are educated and confident in the mortgage options available and can make the best decisions along the way. John can be reached by calling 678-226-7887, 678-226-7887. Alfie, I got a treat for you.
Yes, sir. What do you got?
We got Mike Crew with Homeowner Management Services on the phone with
us. I thought you were going to say you had some cookies.
Oh, well, I don't have any cookies. Mike, do you have any cookies? Mike Crew?
Oh, Alfie, you mean me?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. yeah. Well, I was thinking we had volume levels. We had a little problem with the soundboard when we were trying to get you on in the first place. No, Alfie wants cookies, and I just didn't know if you had any cookies, Mike.
No, I've got some caramel corn, though. That's pretty good.
Hey, would you take that, Alfie?
I'll take it.
Is it a Christmas caramel corn?
I'll take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can fix you up.
Well, Mike, we appreciate you being on, and we asked you specifically to be on this week and for this segment because we have a couple of listener questions about HOAs. And if you're listening and you're interested in reaching out to Mike Crew, who's the president of Homeowner Management Services, you can reach him by phone at 770-667-0595 or online at hms-inc.net. Again, hms-inc.net. Easy for me to say. Hey, Mike, we've got a question from John in Roswell. He says, I've heard an HOA can foreclose on my property if I don't pay my HOA dues. How can they do this? And Alfie's got a very concerned look on his face. So I think we're all waiting for the answer.
Well, there's good reason to be concerned, but there's a few things to talk about.
Okay.
The amount that he's talking about, that John is talking about, are called assessments.
Okay.
Lots of times we call them dues, but they're really assessments.
Okay.
That's the amount that's levied by the association that becomes an obligation to the homeowner to pay the association, and that's the money that's used to operate the association.
And why are you clarifying between the word, distinguishing between the word dues and assessments, just because legally that's what they're called?
Yes, because
okay.
dues are commonly thought of as something you pay a club, the voluntary payment to a club.
Okay.
Or an assessment, just like tax assessments, I hate to use that word, but they are a legal levy that you're required to pay through some obligation.
Interesting, because I think in the real estate world, we always call them HOA dues or even condo dues, so we're using them incorrectly in our listing stuff. Thanks for pointing
everybody
that out.
Does.
Interesting. Okay.
It's like Kleenex and Crescent wrenches. They're not Kleenexes, and they're not made by the company Crescent. It's just
got it. So I'm liking the word dues, but I don't like the word assessment anymore. How about you, Alfie?
No, not me.
I just like that.
I don't like anything that requires me to pay something. So dues or assessments, I'm not taking it.
Well, but when you get into court, it doesn't matter what you call them. The outcome is going to be the same.
Yeah, I guess that's
yeah. All right. Well, let's keep talking about how an HOA can foreclose on poor John's property.
Sure. So for John, there's a couple things that he needs to know. So associations can foreclose on properties under certain circumstances, and the process that's used is called a judicial foreclosure.
Okay.
And that means that the association files a lawsuit and obtains a court order, a judgment against the homeowner, and after they obtain the judgment, they then get the right to sell the home in order to satisfy the lien that comes from that judgment.
Okay.
So fundamentally, it's the association goes to court. a judge says, yes, you can foreclose and sell the property, and then the association can proceed. Now, there's some caveats to that.
Okay, good.
The first one is John's home would have to be in a homeowners association that is subject to the Property Owners Association Act.
Okay.
And that's a state law. I think we talked about this on the show once before.
We did. I remember.
That's a state law, and John's neighborhood would have to specifically have that provision written into their documents. Now, for other listeners besides John, if they live in a condominium, that law applies to all condominiums. So property owners, association, or condominium, you have to live in one of those.
Okay.
The debt must be at least $2,000 that's owed to the association. Now, that includes dues, legal fees, interest, late charges, any kind of legal costs. So it's pretty easy to get to $2,000 when you pile all those things up on a homeowner.
Sure, and that seems kind of like a low threshold, actually. Seems like it should be $50,000 or something like that.
Well, it might be, but if it was $50,000, most homeowners associations, you would never get there.
Right.
I mean, you know, even a fairly high-end condominium might have a couple of $1,000s a month in assessments. So
right.
It could take you a couple of years to get there.
Got it. Makes sense.
Yeah, and you have to remember, this money is the money that's used to pay to operate the community. So particularly in a condominium, they have lights to keep on in the hallways and elevators to operate and parking garages. So income is very critical to the health of the association.
That makes sense.
And then
sense.
The last thing okay. is the association must start the lawsuit within 4 years of when the original debt was incurred. And that comes from the statute of limitations, from the Georgia statute of limitations. So three major criteria. They have to be in a POA or a condominium. The debt has to be at least $2,000, and they have to start within 4 years.
We've got another question from Adrian and Marietta, but I want to ask a follow-up question.
Sure.
Would a homeowners association or a condo association generally be interested in negotiating with someone if John, for example, wanted to offer a settlement, half or three quarters or something like that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Very few, in my experience, very few foreclosures actually result in the foreclosure going to term. Okay. It's more common that the owner comes up with the money from somewhere else. You know, they borrow it from an aunt or an uncle. They take some money out of their 401k. Somehow they manage to get the money together. That's the most common thing that happens.
Got it.
Sometimes the mortgage lender will intercede on the owner's behalf. They would only do that if there's some significant equity in the property that for some reason the owner can't extract through maybe a homeowner equity line or something like that.
Got it.
So the mortgage lender might intercede. And of course, the worst case from the homeowner's viewpoint is the association purchases the home at a sheriff's sale. They then evict the owner, and then they either resell the unit or they sell it or rent it out to someone in order to start generating some income again.
Geez, and you'd hope that would never happen. If you've just joined us, you're listening to the Call Cleve Atlanta Real Estate Show right here on News Talk 1160. I'm Cleve Gaddis, joined in the studio by Alfred Romero, and we've got Mike Crew of Homeowner Management Services on the line with us. He can be reached by calling 770-667-0595 or online at hms-inc.net. Real quick question. We've only got about a minute and a half, and I'm sorry, that last one was such an interesting answer. Adrienne in Marietta writes in, in a condo association, how is the money for replacing swimming pools, sidewalks, parking lots, et cetera, budgeted? That's a good question.
Well, typically, Adrian's asking about major capital projects.
Okay.
But in general, annual budgets are developed by the board of directors through research, through looking at historical information, financial information. The board might enlist a company like mine, a management company. They might ask a CPA to help them develop the budget. For the kind of items that Adrian's talking about, typically, they would engage an engineering firm to assist with projecting the costs to do the replacement work, such as repairing a parking lot or resurfacing a swimming pool. A well-managed community, and we always recommend this, that a well-managed community purchase a reserve study from a professional engineering company.
Right.
And a reserve study is a plan which lays out over a period of typically 5 years all of the expected capital items that'll have to be repaired, how much they'll cost, and how much money the association needs to set aside each year in order to have the necessary amount of funds available. And that's the money that's put in the budget, the amount that's required each year.
Wow. I tell you, you are a wealth of information. If someone's interested in reaching Mike Crew with Homeowner Management Services, please dial 770-667-0595. I can't believe it. The segment is already over. Mike, will you come back and visit with us in a couple of weeks?
Anytime you'd like to, Cleve. I'd be more than glad to help homeowners out so perfect. They can understand.
Perfect. Alfie and I are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about creative ways to title property when you're buying it with your son and his wife. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos.
Welcome back to the Call Cleve Atlanta Real Estate Show right here on News Talk 1160. My name's Cleve Gaddis. I'm joined here in the studio by my man Alfie.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Happy holidays.
I love some good holiday Christmas music, don't you?
This is the time of year when you hear it. It's great.
Would be kind of strange if we heard it in July.
Yeah, that would be kind of weird. I'm going to never listen to Christmas music before Thanksgiving.
No?
No.
Never?
Never.
Not even a day before?
Nope.
This year, we listened to it all day getting ready for Thanksgiving.
Okay,
the
that's
day
okay.
Before. It
that's
is?
Our, oh, the day before?
Yeah, we put up decorations this year before people came over to our house for Thanksgiving.
So you got your tree before Thanksgiving. Uh-huh. Okay.
I probably sacrilegious or something like that, but we did it, and it was great to have the tree up on Thanksgiving Day.
I was lucky to have all the kids. Was all the family there putting it
oh,
up
yeah.
with you?
No, yeah, well, just my girls.
Okay.
Just me and Michelle and our four girls.
Oh.
Yeah, they love so it. Sweet. Decorating and going crazy. This segment of the Call Cleve Atlanta Real Estate Show is brought to you by the law firm of O'Kelley and Sorahan. They're a full-service law firm with 19 offices throughout Metro Atlanta. They specialize in residential real estate closings, including home purchases, refinance closings, corporate relocation and real estate contract review, and title insurance matters. They also do commercial closings as well. They can be reached by calling 770-497-1880. One more time, 770-497-1880. Alfie and I can be reached by calling 770-497-0000. A little different than O'Kelley and Sorahan's number. Every once in a while, I give out their number for ours and our number for theirs, don't I, Alfie? Hey, we've got a whole segment of listener questions.
Oh, yeah. Listener question time. Listener question time.
Starting out with one from Sharon in Marietta.
All right.
Says, I want to title my property so that I own 50% and my son and daughter-in-law own the other 50% together. Can this be done? You're reading the show notes, and you have almost like a look of, man, this smells bad.
So, well, I mean, I
what do you think?
Well, I mean, couldn't they put them on the deed?
Yeah. But what it says is,
oh,
is
want
she wants to own 50%,
I don't think,
and she wants them to own 50% together.
I don't. I mean, I know they could be put on the deed together, but I don't know. Is that possible to do that, Cleve?
Yep.
It is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It is. So technically, the ownership of the mom, the son, and the daughter-in-law would be tenants in common.
Okay.
They would own a divided interest.
All right.
Okay. The mother would be 50%. The son and the daughter-in-law would be a divided 50%. The son-in-law, the son and the daughter could own their 50% as with the right of survivorship.
Okay.
So if the son died or the daughter-in-law passed away, then the ownership of their half would pass directly to the other spouse, but would not pass to the mother. Now, my guess is this particular situation, because we've dealt with it before, you have a mother who's putting money into the down payment,
okay.
And there's probably other siblings besides just the son. And she wants to make sure that her ownership in the home passes through her estate. Ultimately, some of it would go back to the son, but some of it would go to a daughter or another son or whoever else she has out there.
So if the mother passes away, the son and the daughter-in-law would have 50%, but then another sibling would have the 50%.
Well, or in the mom might give half of her 50% back to her son.
And then you'd have
another half to someone else.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Let's just say she had two children. So one child other than John, the son. John, where'd that come from? But, one child other than the son.
Yeah.
Yep. And so she could actually let the ownership of her half go through her will.
Okay.
And it would go to her son. Mm-hmm. And possibly if she had a daughter or another son. Right. Is that confusing?
Well, no, it's not confusing. I just feel like it's going to bring up a really sticky situation in the sense of if they're both 50% owners of this home, mm-hmm. what decision is going to be made? Like maybe one of them wants to sell the home, the other one wants to live in the home. Mm-hmm.
So what's interesting, if you and Kimber bought a home together, you would probably buy it as joint tenants with the rights of survivorship. And listen, if you're listening, remember, I'm not an attorney, although I'm happy to give you free advice like an attorney on the radio. But Alpha, you and Kimber would buy your home as joint tenants with rights of survivorship, meaning you have an undivided ownership interest in the home. Your interest cannot be separated from hers, and hers cannot be separated from yours.
Okay.
You and Kimber can sell it together.
Right.
And if one of you should pass away, let's hope it happens only in your 90s, mm-hmm. then the person who passed away's ownership would pass directly to the other owner.
Gotcha.
Make sense?
Yes.
In this case, the mother probably does not want to give the money she's invested in the home directly to the son and the daughter-in-law. She's probably got somebody else out there that she feels is entitled to some of her estate when she dies. So my guess is that's probably what she's trying to structure. Now, it's unusual to structure it through the deed. Mm-hmm. Normally, it would just show tenants in common, mom 50%, son and daughter-in-law 50%,
now,
and
she
then
do something
mom's
like,
will
now, could she do something like 51-49%?
She could do it. They can do anything they want to.
Okay.
Anything they want to. So if, for example, you're thinking, well, gosh, I feel badly for the... Let's say you feel badly for the mom because the son and daughter-in-law might not do what the mom wants. It could be 51-49 or it could be 51-49 the other way. Gotcha. You can structure it pretty much what you want to, and you can write those details on the face of the deed.
And you'd have to get it notarized, I would assume, right?
You'd have to sign it in front of a witness and have it notarized and everything. It would be done like you do it at a closing document if you bought a home.
Gotcha.
Okay. Wow, that was a tough one, wasn't it?
Wow.
Jeez. Mandy and Jason wrote in saying, we're selling our house in Duluth and moving to Seattle to a 550-square-foot apartment. We've owned our Duluth home for 3 years. What percentage tax will we have to pay on the sale? Alfie.
Yes.
I'm going to let you try to answer that one. They've owned it 3 years consecutively.
Yeah.
And if they have a gain on the sale, what percentage, how much tax will they have to pay on their gain? Do you remember that 2 of 5 rule that we've talked about before?
Yes.
If you and Kimber own your home and live there 2 of the last 5 years, you and Kimber will not pay any tax on the gains on the sale, provided you don't earn more than $250 on the sale and she doesn't earn more than $250 together. So a married couple
can make up to
$500,000 on the gain of a property today, the way it's written, and not pay any tax. Now, the Senate and the House of Representatives have plans to change that. In the new tax bills, they're different tax bills now, they are each proposing that we change from a 2 of the last 5 year rule to a 5 of the last 8 year rule. So you and Kimber would have to live somewhere for 5 years. So in this case, Mandy and Jason, if the new tax law was in effect,
they would not.
Right. They'd have to pay tax on their gains.
So then, since they've been there 3 years consecutively, they're eligible to get
now,
the tax
under the current law.
Right.
Under the current law.
But if they change it, then it would be 5 years. So
correct.
And they'd
have to pay tax. Now, there are some exceptions when people are relocated for work. I'm not sure. My guess is they're probably going to Seattle to have a technology job. That's what everybody goes out there for.
Right.
And if that was the case and they were being forced to relocate, there are some exemptions to the 2 to 5 minimum. I'm not a CPA. I can't give you all the specifics. We probably should look that up for a future show.
And what's the percentage of the tax they get taken?
It depends. It would be either a long-term or a short-term capital gain. It could be anywhere from 15 to, gosh, regular income. It could be 40%, depending upon your situation.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you've just joined us, you're listening to the Call Cleve Atlanta Real Estate Show. I'm Cleve Gaddis, answering listener questions with my man Alfie. Got a question from Drew in Buford. Says, how does a backup contingency work in Georgia? It's really very simple. The Georgia Association of Realtors has a backup contingency exhibit. It says, I'm making an offer on your property, and you as a seller are agreeing to this offer, and our offer is a backup to a primary offer, and you actually reference it by name. and it says that your offer shall remain a backup until, you know, the other one fails or you're notified, or you can put something in there in terms of when your offer becomes primary. And that agreement gives the buyer to cancel or terminate that backup offer or agreement at any time prior to being notified that they're in primary position. But it's a standard form, Drew. You can ask your real estate agent to look it up. It's called a backup contingency exhibit, or a backup offer contingency exhibit. If you enjoy listening to the Call Cleve Atlanta Real Estate Show right here on News Talk 1160 every Sunday at noon and Tuesday at 2,
I also tune in to
listen to me on The Morning Ride with Larry Larson on AM 1690 every Tuesday morning at 9:30. Larry and I always have a really good conversation about real estate related topics. Again, The Morning Ride with Larry Larson on AM 1690, Atlanta's Voice of the Arts, every Tuesday morning at 9:30. Alfie and I are going to take a quick break. When we come back in our Lowdown on the Hood segment, we're going to feature Windsor Oaks in Marietta. And then we've got a question from Leon in Gainesville, wants to know how he can substitute another buyer for himself on a purchase agreement. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
Like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow.
Welcome back to the Call Cleve Atlanta Real Estate Show right here on News Talk 1160, Atlanta's Talk of the Town. My name is Cleve Gaddis, and I'm joined here in the studio by my man Alfie.
Merry Christmas, Merry.
You like the Christmas songs, don't you?
Oh, man.
Oh, you were doing, what's his name?
Yeah, Harry Bailey.
It's
a Wonderful Life.
From It's a Wonderful Life. I haven't watched that in a couple of years.
Oh, I got it on my DVR, so we've been watching it for all throughout the year.
Have you already started watching it?
We watched it a little bit when we were decorating the tree.
Yeah.
And we'll probably we have a viewing party for it, which is kind of cool. Like my sister and my family come over and we watch it.
Nice.
So yeah.
And the boys will get to experience it for the first time.
Yes,
maybe.
Have they watched it before? They've never watched it.
Exciting to have. And by the way, I don't remember seeing any exciting pictures of your home for Christmas last year on Facebook.
No, we didn't.
But now that there are two boys in the house, like the Santa fairy threw up decorations all over your house. I love it. It's so fun when you start to have a family and create memories in your own home. Isn't it cool?
Yeah, Kimber does enjoy decorating in Christmas.
And you know, but I wasn't friends with Kimber on Facebook last year,
so she
might have been posting some pictures anyway.
Well, we didn't post a lot of pictures last year just because, you know.
You didn't have any reason to.
It'd be
like going to Disney World all the time by yourself as adults. You'd never do that.
Exactly.
You'd never do that.
Done that before. Didn't do it 12 times our first year of marriage.
Your first, amazing. You weren't even married for part of it.
No, we had one trip before we got married. We had our honeymoon there.
Yes, I remember that.
And then we got season passes, and they were there once a month for the entire year.
2015, right?
Mm-hmm.
2015. Seems like it's, actually, doesn't even seem like it's been that long, actually.
No, it does not.
So, you know, each week, Alfie, we pick one Metro Atlanta neighborhood to call out in the spotlight and to call out critical changes that would help you as a buyer or seller get a unique competitive advantage in that neighborhood.
Yes.
We call this our Lowdown on the Hood segment. And this week we're featuring Windsor Oak in Marietta or Cobb County. It is in the Wiggly Road area off Sandy Plains, which is south of 92 for those unfamiliar with the location of the neighborhood. The all-time high price was set in 2007 when there were 18 homes sold in the neighborhood and sold at an average of $363,000. By 2012, average sales prices had dropped to $305,000, only a 16% decrease, which is really not much of a decrease considering the average in Metro Atlanta was down about 40-something, 44%.
Oof.
By 2016, the average sales price had rebounded to $400,000. and 36,000. So down 16%, up 30%. Alfie, on that 100 scale that you like to hear, 2007 is represented by the number 100. 2012 is represented by the number 84. That's the down 16%. 2016 represented by the number 120. So up 20% over the prior all-time high.
Wow.
You're kind of surprised by that, aren't you?
That's crazy.
That's really neat. Now, this year, the average sales price has dropped back to $406,000, so we're about $30,000 off of where we were last year. There are currently six homes available for sale in the neighborhood with an average list price of $433,000. There's 4.8 months worth of inventory on the market, which means we're at the high end of a balanced market. As we say, a seller's market is when you have under 4 months worth of inventory, a balanced market when you have 4 and 5 months worth of inventory. And so we're in the middle of a balanced market, excuse me. And then a buyer's market is over 5 months worth of inventory. From 2012 to 2016, homeowner equity in this neighborhood increased $55 million.
Wow.
$55 million.
Wow. That is quite a bit of an increase there.
Not too shabby. There's about 400 homeowners in there. So, Alfie, I guess you could go knock on doors and ask them if you could borrow some money from homeowners in that neighborhood, right?
No kidding.
And nice $50 million in equity going up in 4 short years. The elementary school is Davis. The middle school is Maybe, and the high school is Lassiter High School. Lassiter High School gets a school chimp score of 100. If you're one of those kind who doesn't want to monkey around with your kids' education or their school's effect on home values, you need to get what's called a school chimp report. Getting one is easy. Just visit gogaddis.com. That's gogaddis.com. Click on the school chimp link. Put in a little bit of information just to answer questions about which school district you're looking for. It's for all public high schools in Metro Atlanta. And in our opinion, a school chimp report provides the most comprehensive rating system available today, better than Great Schools or School Digger or any of the school rating sites. And it includes all of the other demographic information you as a home buyer or seller want to know about a particular district, like the percentage of homeowners and renters, the average household income, the educational attainment by parents, the average sales price, and all other market data in the area all the way back to 2007. A school chimp report is a free report provided exclusively by Gaddis Partners REMAX Center in the Call Cleve Atlanta Real Estate Show. Get one simply by logging on to gogaddis.com, G-O-G-A-D-D-I-S.com. Click on the school chimp link. If you're looking for the lowdown on your own neighborhood, our free market snapshot is just what the doctor ordered. It's really like getting a monthly bank statement on your home's value emailed right to your inbox. Getting one is easy. Just sign up now at gogaddis.com, G-O-G-A-D-D-I-S.com. Just click on the Home Values in ATL tab. It'll take less than 30 seconds, and it will ensure you are the local smarty. Your neighbors will most certainly be jealous. Just go to gogaddis.com, G-O-G-A-D-D-I-S.com, and sign up now. Hey, Alfie.
Yes, sir.
You and Kimber are looking for a new house, right?
Yes, we are.
And when Kimber searches, I have the inside scoop that she searches on SureMLS.com, S-U-R-E-M-L-S.com.
Yes, she does.
When she first started her home search, she was using Zillow, and she found some outdated listing information, got her hopes up about a home that she hoped to be able to buy.
Yep.
Turns out it sold November, not of the prior year, but of 2 years prior to when she was looking for the houses, and she was upset about that.
It was very disappointing. She would send me the link, she'd get all excited, and then she'd find out doing more research when we got into it that it would, you know, sold or something like that.
She also found a couple homes that she thought were for sale, which really weren't for sale. They were just starting the foreclosure process.
Correct.
She was disappointed about those as well.
Yes.
So she uses our website, which is SureMLS.com. Provides the most comprehensive and complete market information, the listing information, and it pulls information from both listing services in Metro Atlanta. Alfie, it's unusual, pardon me, to have a website that pulls information from both databases.
That's pretty
cool. So if you're searching or Kimber's searching on SureMLS.com and she comes across a listing and there's only one of them,
yeah, it's pretty much solid.
She might have found
our dream house,
the gem.
Yeah,
she might have found one. It's only in there because she's searching again. SureMLS.com. Got a question from Leon in Gainesville. Says, "How can I substitute another buyer for myself on a purchase agreement?" Sounds like a strange question, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's almost like it's pretty shady why he doesn't.
So
want
if
to do
I
that.
Had something under contract and I wanted to transfer that contract to you, I could just do an amendment that says Cleve Gaddis is hereby removed from this purchase agreement as a buyer, and Alfred Romero is added to this purchase agreement as a buyer, and as long as I signed it and you signed it and the seller signed it,
it's okay.
I just substituted you for me.
And I guess the seller doesn't
care. Now, the seller would have to, well, the seller might. Now, you can't guarantee that the seller is going to agree to that, but what he asked was how, not whether or not it was a good possibility.
Well, why would he want to do that?
I don't know. Maybe he doesn't want to buy the property anymore. Hmm. I don't know. Hey, let's see. It was Leon, right? Yeah, Leon in Gainesville. If you got any more questions or want to give Alfie the scoop, 770-497-0000 is the number to call. If you're thinking of selling your home in the next 90 days, we want to make sure you get that extra
amount of cash. Get that $16,000, right, Cleve?
That extra $16,000 bucks.
There you go.
We want to make sure you get that extra $16,000. And what you need is a customized maximum value plan. You don't need a Zestimate from Zillow or a CMA like most real estate agents would provide. You need that customized maximum value plan. It's like an appraisal on steroids. Normally, it's a $799 value. The first five people to call 770-497-0000 will get a customized maximum value plan today for free. We use some of that proprietary software like the Wall Street banks do and the mortgage companies do to understand how much properties are going to appreciate in the next year. And we help you, Alfie, as a seller, get at least half of that future appreciation. And we think $16,000 is a lot of money. The number to call is 770-497-0000. We appreciate you sticking with us for another week's episode of The Call, Cleve. Atlanta Real Estate Show right here on News Talk 1160. And Alfie and I will be back Sunday at noon and Tuesday at 2. We look forward to talking to you then, Atlanta.
Welcome back to that same old place that you laughed about.